Americans are asking, who attacked our country? The evidence we have gathered all points to a collection of loosely affiliated police forces, intelligence service, dozens of federal departments and agencies, as well as state and local governments and banking systems around the world.
We need to end terrorism. We absolutely need to end terrorism. We have to begin to think about what we need to do to end terrorism.
But I think what people need to understand, and if we're going to appeal to the public at large about what their interests are, I think what's going on right now, the policies that are being pursued by the de facto Bush administration are policies that are contrary to our security and in fact a threat to our long-term security, and it's just an attempt to consolidate a citadel of power for a handful of the elite in this country at the expense of everyone else, and it's only a matter of time until they turn on us too, because this is not a crisis that can be overcome. Oil is running out.
What is my recommendation? Quickly, without explaining them, you would know what I mean, what to do. First, avoid extremes of double standards. If you're going to practice double standards, you will be paid with double standards. Don't use it. Don't condone Israeli terror, Pakistani terror, Nicaraguan terror, El Salvador terror on the one hand, and then complain about Afghan terror or Palestinian terror. Doesn't work. Try to be even-handed. A superpower cannot promote terror in one place and reasonably expect to discourage terrorism in another place. Won't work in this shrunken world.
Voltaire once said, "It's dangerous to be right when your government is wrong." I'm proud to say, however, we have leaders on our side. Us. We are the leaders. And that's the only place to look for leadership. Within yourself, to the people sitting next to you, to your family, to your friends, people in churches, in the workplace. We've got to be talking to people now more than ever.
Second, do not condone the terror of your allies. Condemn them. Fight them.
Americans are asking, how will we fight and win this war? By sponsoring and sheltering and supplying terrorists, by sacrificing human life.
And the good news is the kids are out front yet again. We have so much to learn from the kids today, filled with idealism and spirit and daring, and they're already out there.
Covert operations and low-intensity warfare are breeding ground of terror and drugs. Wherever covert operation has been, there has been the central drug problem. That has been also the center of drug trade, because the structure of covert operation, Afghanistan, Vietnam, Nicaragua, Central Asia, Central America, the structure of drug operation, a covert operation, is very hospitable to drug trade. Avoid it. Give it up.
At other times in American history, when it was necessary, particularly during the Vietnam War, when it was necessary, to build a national movement to say to the government, no, you don't speak for us.
There have been resistance in many different forms, especially by women. According to Taliban's law, no woman is allowed to go outside on the street. But if you go to Afghanistan, you will find many women walking on the streets alone. According to Taliban, there's no education for women. But there are thousands of secret home-based classes run by women. Some of these classes were discovered. The teachers were put into prison. They were beaten up in front of the students. At least they were ordered not to run the classes. But the women did not give up.
Do not concentrate on military solutions. Do not seek military solution. Terrorism is a political problem. Seek political solutions.
In truth, there is no protection for society from sufficiently determined people willing to give their own lives. Our safety does not lie in the force we can muster, but the relationships we establish with the rest of the world. Relationships spurned by this administration at every turn. A missile defense system wouldn't have stopped these attacks. but a policy that supports economic justice in the world might have.
They attacked, they were trying to kill Gaddafi, right? They killed his 4-year-old daughter. That poor baby hadn't done anything. Gaddafi is still alive, mashallah. They tried to kill Saddam Hussein. They killed Laila bin Attar, an innocent woman. They tried to kill bin Laden and his men. Not one died, 25 other people died. They tried to destroy a chemical factory in Sudan. Now they are admitting they destroyed a medicine factory. You don't know. You think you know. You're going to hit the wrong thing all the time.
Missile defense shields. A friend of mine said we need a box cutter shield. Seems to me. We could call it by its acronym, BS.
Democracy is not falling in line behind the president. Democracy is for people to think independently, to be skeptical of government, to check up for themselves, to look around and try to find out what's going on. And then, if they see that the government is deceiving them, to speak out as loudly as they can.
I'm getting involved in the organizing. Where I am, there's sort of two different pieces going on. I think the broader forces need to be brought together in an anti-war movement to create something for people to plug into as they begin to be disillusioned, as they inevitably will be with this foreign policy. And then for people who are like more consciously left or consciously progressive, I think it's really important for us to begin articulating, not just articulating, but beginning to do the organizing around the issue of developing some sort of a nucleus of an anti-fascist movement inside this country. And I think that's been coming for a long time. It's not something that just happened on September 11th. I'm involved in anti-war organizing with my colleagues around here and friends. We're also beginning to talk about what we can do to ensure that we're not subjected to the same thing that Germany was subjected to, because it only took them a couple of years to tumble into barbarism. It won't take us nearly as long because we're much closer to start with.
And I propose something as a goal, okay, and it's something that you might, yes, start working on right away. And the goal is to change America's role in the world from being a military superpower to being a moral superpower. Let's get those troops out of Saudi Arabia. It's only. Say, oh, but what about oil? Okay. If you want people to die for oil, that's what's happening. People are dying for oil. People died in the Gulf War for oil. 100,000 Iraqis died for oil. Maybe 1 million Iraqis have died as a result of our sanctions for oil. Ever since World War II, American policy in the Middle East has been based on oil. You see, so you have to make a decision. Well, we might have to cut back. Yes, stop the sanctions that are killing hundreds of thousands of children in Iraq. Yes.
The problem is we're not connected. People on one side of town don't know the people on the other side of town. Fighting for a living wage over here, fighting against toxic waste dump over there, but we don't get together. So let us just get together. Let's talk. Let's learn. Let's get to know each other. Celebrate our victories, but also let's have fun. So part of our how we're going to do this is we're going to get with the people themselves, and then, most importantly, and what this is all about is not to have an event, but to build those coalitions among groups that are being told that they're enemies. Farmers against the laboring people against the environmentalists against minorities, greens against the insurgent Democrats. We're not enemies, we're allies. Jesse Jackson put it, we might not all come over on the same boat, but we're in the same boat now. That's a powerful political reality. So let's stop fighting each other. Let's stop looking side to side. And let's all begin to look up at who really has the power and who's dividing us. And let's go after that power.
More than 90% of Americans want us to go to war. Now, I don't believe that. From talking to hundreds of people now, just in New York alone, not to mention people all over the world since then, I don't believe, or I should say, I would like to see what the question is that people are being asked.
One of the great populists, back in that populist period of the 1870s, 1880s, a woman out of Kansas named Mary Ellen Lees. She's known as the Kansas Pythoness for the power of her oratory at a time when women could not vote. She was on the political stump all across the Plain States. And she was talking to the corn farmers who had been ripped off by the railroad monopolies of that day. And she said to them, it's time to raise less corn and more hell.
And also be very firm and clear with Israel.
We've been progressive a long time. It's time to become aggressive again. Because the powers that be are radically regressive, running roughshod over everyone who stands in their way of another dollar bill. George Bernard Shaw said about 100 years ago, you don't make progress by standing your guard, but by attacking and getting well hammered yourself.
It's the job of those of us who are trying to make a better world to be as radical as reality. I actually like that.
On September 11th, we were taken backwards. We were taken backwards by those who felt they have to use the strategy of violence. And the oppressors are capitalizing on it to distance us, to weaken us, to destroy our resolve. But let it be known and very clearly too that we cannot be intimidated by terrorists. We cannot be intimidated by oppressors. We cannot be intimidated by anybody at all to claim justice from the hands of injustice.